Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful.
Thanks, Sapphire. Okay, let me pray, and then we'll just have a brief look there at Hebrews chapter 10. Heavenly Father, please help us to know ourselves and to know you this Christmas, to know the message of that first Christmas, that we might know the freedom of a clear conscience this Christmas, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what would you like to wake up to at Christmas? If you could redial the clock, what would it have been? I don't know whether you've opened half your presents, all your presents, but was it a pair of shoes that you hoped really would fit? Was it a dress that you really hoped would fit? Was it a belt that you hoped might fit around your Christmas ham down along here? What would you do if you could redial not just Christmas morning, but what would you do if you could redial your week? Okay, if you could go back to last Saturday, what if you could go back 1 month? What if you could go back 1 year? What if you could go back to the start of, say, 2020 and start that whole year again? Maybe, just maybe, you might even like to redial your whole life. That sort of thinking seems to be where the mind goes of perhaps one of our nation's most famous songwriters, at least for this past generation. For if you've ever listened to any of Paul Kelly's songs, there seems to be quite an eagerness, a keenness and an enthusiasm to redial, to go back to a better place, to go back to a carefree moment, a moment of innocence. And incredibly, this Christmas, Paul, now in his 60s, has done it again. I don't know whether you know this, he's released a new song this Christmas called Christmas. But in the song, if you listen to it, there's an echo of it. It's a whimsical call. He wants to go back. Wants to go back in time, wants to go back to childhood memories, wants to go back to memories he loves. He seems to redial the years. He wants to wind them back to a memory that I think he knows is just a mirage because he can never go back. And yet I want to explore with you guys briefly this morning that Paul Kelly's Christmas wish, his wish to find a moment of innocence, to find some sort of steadfast bedrock, is available not only to Paul this Christmas, but to all of you guys who are here with us today. I don't know if you think that's wishful thinking, but I can assure you, I can guarantee you, it is as realistic as a hot Christmas day in Australia, although today feels pretty good actually, and it's as realistic that Uncle Bruce is going to bring out those jokes again. But be assured, the first Christmas will not bring a groan, but it will bring great gladness. So let's think about it now. Now, Christmas time has an uncanny knack of stirring emotions, doesn't it? They say you think about, you know, I think people know that there's key stresses that can happen in life. It can be marriage, the birth of a child, a new job, a new home. But I don't know whether you realise this, Christmas makes the list as well. Did you know that? It's a stressful time for lots of us. And perhaps the older you get, it can stir the emotions more. Seems to be Christmas time brings us a mix of joy and pain, delight and uneasiness, pleasure and discomfort. There can be these internal voices in your mind that compete for your attention. And yet Jesus comes at Christmas time, and his coming signals the turmoil is over. We're invited to actually draw near to God this Christmas and to experience freedom. And in the reading that Sapphire did, it talks about a freedom of a clear conscience. So let me read again. This is from the book of Hebrews in the Bible, from chapter 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. It's a pretty amazing verse, isn't it? Because what it is saying is that at Christmas time, the first Christmas, Jesus came so we can draw near to the God of this world. And not only can we do it, we can do it with confidence that you will be welcomed by God. We're going to discover why you can do that very, very soon. But can you sense the childlike glee that should bring us? Welcomed by the God of this world? For what sort of welcome do you think the average four-year-old across Australia or the average Jeremy receives from their parents or grandparents or carers when they run into their bed at 4 a.m. in the morning? What's the response that they receive? Oh, go back to bed. They try again an hour later, 5 a.m., back to bed. 6 a.m., bed. What about God? What does he do when you come to him at 4 a.m. in the morning? Come to me, he says. 5 a.m., you can depend on me. 6 a.m., you're mine, I want you. Have you ever thought about that news of Christmas? That Christmas, Jesus coming to the world, gives you that sort of access? Listen again. You cry out to God at 4 a.m., he listens to you. You cry out to God at 5 a.m., he hears you. You cry out to God at 6 a.m., he pleads with you, come to me. Now think about broken relationships in your life. Do they say these things to you? I'm listening to you. Do you ever hear them say, I hear you? Have you ever heard them say to you, I want you to come to me? Christmas can sting us. It can sting us here with calories. My wife Susan said, buy double cream. I didn't buy just one, I bought multiple. Christmas can sting us here in our hearts, in our relationships. And yet this Christmas, God shouts to you. He pleads with you to come. He begs you to come to him. So can I say this morning, will you respond to his invitation this Christmas? Now there's some faces here this morning, I don't know. And I don't know whether someone's invited you. And I've heard this said by others that have invited friends along to something that our church has been hosting. And they've said to their friend, I don't think I should go along to your church thing. The roof would fall down. Because I guess they're saying, I'm not worthy. I got stuff in my life. I've got mess, memories that stain me, moments that tint me. And so firstly, can I say, I want to be honest with you and I want to say you're right. You're not worthy. You can't get access to God. You won't get access to God and you shouldn't. Because the God who made this world very, very impressively, he's a great architect and builder, isn't he, when you look at our world. But he who made the world, he pleads with us, love him above everything, even more than double cream. Love him more. Oh, and then he says, love others more than yourself. How successful are you at those two things? You might be as successful as my exercise and diet program. You know, what are the things that we put in our New Year's resolution? We'll eat less, we'll exercise more. You get to the end of the year, you get to now and you go, oh, I blew it again. Now, if you were slimmer and more ribbed, okay, if you don't know what ribbed mean, don't worry about it. But if you were slimmer and more ribbed today than on the 1st of January, we hate you. Can we just say that publicly? We hate you. And yet, I think I can get you to balk from your confidence and your domineering posture. So, this is how I'm going to do it. Imagine this. Imagine Boxing Day in a galaxy far, far away. Because COVID cases aren't on the rise, they're declining. This is hypothetical. You flick a message out to your family, few cousins, because you go, oh, man, I haven't been to the movies for like ever. But you get the shock of the light of your life because as you settle into the seats, the ads are all done, you got your popcorn, and the message comes across the screen. You know the movie's sort of starting. It's old English font, so it's trying to say something. This is something from the past. And the story says, this is your story. And it's not the story of Australia. It's not the story of your family. It's not the story of your cousins. It's your story. It's personal. It's every action. It's every deed. And here's the kicker. It's every thought you've ever had. What do you do then? Everyone you love is in that room about to watch this. You don't know whether to say, there was a COVID case here yesterday. Try to clear the room. Just maybe you should just scream, just run. Throw yourself up in front of the large screen. You feel like you're already naked and alone anyway. But at that moment of absolute and utter and sheer despair, when all is lost and all you feel is shame and humiliation and complete brokenness, and in silence you shrink away into your very essence. Stop it! It's over. It's finished. I've destroyed the record. Who says that? Christmas did. Sorry if I gave any of you a bit of a fright there. Reuben. What do I mean when Christmas said that? That is what Jesus says. That's why Jesus is a Savior. He saves us from ourselves, from our guilty record. He gives us complete and total and unrestrained access to the God of this world, because Jesus cleared the way for us. There's nothing between us anymore. You know those relationships, and you know there's an elephant in the room, whether it's with some family member or a friend. But it's not that way. Because Jesus has covered that mess in my life. He took the bullet for me. He covers my life of hiding. And he gives me his perfect record, and I give him my imperfect one. And Jesus saves us from ourselves. That's the hope of Hebrews chapter 10. It reminds us of the hope of Christmas. He goes, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, since we have confidence to be in the presence of God, we do it by the blood of Jesus. Why the blood of Jesus? Because he died on the cross. So we could draw near to God. This is Hebrews saying this again. With a sincere heart, full assurance that faith brings. Paul Kelly wrote another memorable song once, and it finishes like this. It says, please give me today back. I won't say the things I said. I won't do the things I did. Every minute, every hour, the replay is just the same, and I can't stand the shame. Oh, let me start the day again. I just want one day, he says, one lousy day, that's all, of every day that's been before since time began. I know my prayer is in vain, but for a second I'll pretend I can start the day again. We can't start this day again. We can't undo what's under the Christmas tree. And yet, Paul Kelly says he has to pretend about a cleared conscience for tomorrow. But in Christ, you can have it today. The invitation of Christmas is here. To get off the merry-go-round of he said, she said, they did, they said, I'm not, you are, and come to Jesus. Thank him that he came to this world at Christmas. Thank him that his blood covers our sin. Thank him that you can now draw near to the God of this world. You can know assurance that God will not turn you away this Christmas when you come to him in Christ. Give yourself to Jesus this Christmas and be assured he knew the worst of you when he saved you, because he sees everything. He hears everything. And be assured he's not on Boxing Day going to reconsider his invitation to you. He's not going to make you sit there and lament and kind of try to work out, does he love me? He loves me not. Does God love me? He loves me not. Now be assured, when you give yourself to Christ at Christmas, when you ask him to save you, nothing gets between you and him. I wonder whether you've heard this story about an Aussie Christmas. It was a few kids who'd been brought through the school of hard knocks. They were invited to Christmas lunch at Kirribilli House with the Prime Minister on the harbour there in Sydney. The media just thought this was the best. They were eating up the footage. They couldn't help quizzing the kids. One of them was having seconds from lunch beside the pool. And the reporter asked one of the kids and says, does it get any better than this? And they replied, well, yeah, if I was the Prime Minister's kid. They might have been through the school of hard knocks, but they were sharp. That kid knew the right answer. He knew the real answer. He knew that in an hour or two, he was going to be asked to leave. He'd have to head back into the rejection and the heartache. He wouldn't have access there again. So I just want to say to you guys, do you want access to God, not just for half a day, not for 2 hours? Then this Christmas, accept the invitation to get access to God. Trust in Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Give up your trying. Give up your moralising. Give up your goodness. And give up on your name. Because a child of God, when we trust in Christ, we're welcomed into the family. We become a daughter. We become a son. And we can be assured of unlimited access. And we can have a clear conscience this Christmas. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you that each Christmas you offer an invitation for us to come to you, to come and find freedom, a conscience that has been cleared, so that we might have unlimited access to you. Father, we're sorry that we can fight to make a name for ourselves. We can beat ourselves up, trying to demand that we be seen for who we really are. So please humble us this Christmas. Bring us face to face with the reality of who we are, and then bring us face to face with your Son, our Saviour, that we might give up the mask and allow him to stand in for us, that we might allow Jesus' perfection to cover our imperfection. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.